Right? I'd call the meeting to order.
Yes, sir.
Knock on my table. No, I wasn't knocking to get in or anything. It would you say yes, sir, for? Anyway, okay. I'm going to call the public hearing to order. This is on the proposed 2021 Ulster County budget and the 2021 to 2026 capital program. This is our third and final public hearing on the budget. Vicki?
Do you want to do the pledge and then I'll do roll call? It's up to you. Sure.
Let's do the pledge first and then, all right, we'll do the pledge first. And Peter and Criswell, can you lead us in the pledge?
To the flags of the United States of America,
the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
This is for all.
Please be seated. All right, roll call.
Roll call. Archer?
Here.
Bartels?
Here.
Bruno?
Here.
Cahill?
Here.
Corcoran?
Here.
Criswell?
Here.
DeLon?
Here.
Donaldson?
Here.
Fabiano? Gavaris?
Present.
Green?
Here.
Haynes?
Here.
Hepner?
Here.
Litz?
Here.
Lopez? Mayo?
Here.
Parity?
Here.
Petit?
Here.
Roberts? Ronk?
Present.
Uchitel?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
And Waro?
Here.
20 present and 3 absent.
As Madam Clerk, I just admitted Legislator Lopez. I apologize.
For the record, we will correct tonight's roll call, and there are 21 legislators present and 2 absent. Tonight's public hearing, as the chairman said, is on the proposed 2021 Ulster County budget and the proposed 2021 through 2026 capital program. So we're going to run these public hearings the same way that we have. Our deputy clerk has already checked in a lot of the speakers. Tonight worked out beautifully. We're getting way too good at this. And Mr. Chairman, I think you still want to stick with 2 minutes?
Well, they can go on for a little longer than that. We'll just try to wrap them up after that and go on. I mean, depending on how many speakers there are, they should be okay to speak for like 3.
All right, sounds good. Jay, if you want to go ahead.
All right, Mr. Doyle, if you would like to kick off the public hearing.
Oh, certainly, I'd be happy to. First of all, thank you for the opportunity. And secondly, I want to thank those people with whom I've been in touch over the past couple of weeks. And I'm thinking specifically of Chairman Donaldson and also Amber and Vicki, as well as Mark Ryder and the County Executive's Office around a grave concern that we have pertaining to a service that we provide through Family Services. I am the CEO for Family Services, a not-for-profit that has had a longstanding, positive, very fruitful relationship with Ulster County. And of course, we continue to have that relationship in a very positive manner. More to the point though, the work that we have done has been to the benefit of many families living within Ulster County. These are families who have had struggles with either neglect or abuse, and in sometimes instances where that is connected to substance use disorders and other traumatic impacts that have been faced by families. Our work has been to strengthen families and to make sure that those families stay together as opposed to be broken apart by out-of-home placement. This makes all the sense in the world, both from the standpoint of serving the humanity of these families, serving the well-being of the children and the parents, and at the same time, saving taxpayer dollars, because prevention is such a big part of the work that we do and so important in working with these families who have such great difficulty with many of the barriers they face. Many of these parents, they have never had good parenting themselves. And so with our support, with our services, without the with the curricula that we provide to them, we have been very successful in being able to help them stay together to grow as a whole family, as a whole and healthy family. We received alarming news that the contract for our work has been proposed as being reduced from $544,000 to $272,000 in 2021. This is alarming, certainly primarily in terms of our work with the families and the extent to which our capacity to address these needs will be undercut tremendously. And secondly, the impact on the workforce that we employ and the extent to which we would have to put layoffs into place and cut expenses that would be very difficult for the services being provided and also our workforce. Our workforce always puts front and center, though, the well-being of the families, the children, the parents that we serve. My understanding is that the 2021 proposed budget, is, as a matter of fact, places an increase in that line under family assistance. We don't know all of the ins and outs of what makes up that line, but we are certainly a part of that line. And for us to have to endure a $544,000 to $272,000 reduction, a 50% reduction in our capacity to serve these families and individuals is alarming, to say the least. Now, I'm told that part of this calculation is that the Department of Social Services will be able to pick up the slack by the way of their internal resources. What puzzles me and troubles me is that how is that going to be possible when it has not been possible in the past? And now going into 2021, how will it be possible given the fact that Department of Social Services staff of its own will be cut by 36 positions? It seems to me that that's untenable, but I need to be open to any explanations that are provided there. I am urging the legislature to reinstate that $272,000 in cut that has been introduced as a proposal. And I implore all of you to be in touch with me if you need any further information. My information is available through either Amber or Chair Donaldson or Mr. Ryder for that matter. I hope that's helpful in kind of outlining our concerns. It's a grave concern for the families who are at risk of being broken apart without the services that we provide.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Ms. Calhoun, would you like to address the body? And that's star six to unmute. Hannah Calhoun, would you like to address the legislature? We can come back around to Hannah and move on to Ms. Crawford.
Thank you so much. Many of you heard from me on Tuesday. I too work for Family Services and I'm deeply concerned about the proposed reductions to the family education program, that $272,000 reduction that Brian Doyle spoke about. Brian shared with me that there has been some talk about DSS picking up some of those services. But I can tell you that what I have heard directly from the Department of Social Services, particularly in our home visiting component, as well as the supervised visitation component of our services, which really means that families whose children are not currently living with them still have visits with their children. That's really important to keep that bond with the parents, knowing that those families will be reunified. Historically, DSS had provided some of that supervision to families, but they did it in the DSS offices. So caseworkers would have the family sit in their office, the caseworker would sit out in the hallway and do their work while the family got together. DSS contracted with Family Services because they knew that that was not sufficient to strengthen families, that they needed professionals in the room with the parents and the kids giving that feedback about how to strengthen that relationship and how to build those parenting skills. As Brian Doyle mentioned, prevention saves money in the long run, right? If we can prevent these families from being disrupted and taken apart, that also saves taxpayer money. We know how much it costs to put children in care, both the human toll of that, the trauma it places on the family and the children, but just simply dollars and cents. Prevention costs less than intervention. Family Services is providing these critical prevention services to families who have multiple stressors. These are families that have had substance abuse issues, mental health issues, they're experiencing poverty. These are some of the most neediest families in Ulster County, and to reduce services during a pandemic makes no sense at all to us. And I think will be more costly from a taxpayer perspective than funding prevention services fully. So we request that $272,000 for that contract is restored. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, John.
All right, Ms. Calhoun, would you like to hit star six and address the body, or we're respectfully declining? Oh, there you go.
Hi, sorry, I was trying to do that earlier. My apologies. My name is Hannah Calhoun. I'm the director of the Ulster County Youth Advocate Program. Just wanted to piggyback off of the two speakers who just went. We work with high-risk teens in the community to reduce out-of-home placement, so we are also a preventative program. We have about a 90% success rate, and we're serving about just under 30 families. So our budget is also getting cut 50% in 2021. So that would mean discharging more than half of the families that we're working with without proper completion of goals. These are youth who are, you know, very high risk of residential placement. We are often a lifeline. We provide food, clothes, supervision. Community supervision is huge. We're currently offering in-house tutoring for several of the youth who are unable to do online learning due to financial constraints. So there's a wide range of services that we provide. And ultimately, this is going to have huge lasting effects on, you know, not only the youth that we serve, but the staff that we have and the community at large. So I would just like to point that out. And I want to thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Next, if we could hear from Barbara Steierwalt. I apologize for butchering your last name.
That's quite all right. You did it very well. Thank you very much. I am the general manager at Mohonk Mountain House, and I am like to make these remarks on behalf of Tom Smiley. Unfortunately, he's in a location where his Wi-Fi is not cooperating for him. First of all, we would like to express our appreciation for being able to comment. As I'm sure many of you can imagine, we are experiencing quite a bit of stress, and it's day by day for us at this time. We did receive a note from Legislator Archer this afternoon, and we would like to express our appreciation for her message and the commitment to include us in any future plans that would impact lodging businesses, including occupancy tax. And the second point, with any legislators, we would certainly invite the opportunity to meet either with our properties or with the Ulster County Lodging Coalition, of which we are also a member, and have a firsthand conversation on what our industry particularly is going through with the current stress. And with that, I say thank you very much for allowing us to have public comment.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, if we could hear from Samantha Turk.
Hi, I'll be brief. My name is Samantha Turk and I am third generation Rocking Horse Ranch. My family has been rooted in this community since the 1950s when my grandparents, Tuli and Gloria, first opened the ranch. I trust and I know that there are legislators present who do care for the businesses that support this county and who want to keep them alive. I thank you for your service to this county. I'd also like to thank the legislators for hearing our pleas around the occupancy tax. We truly appreciate your understanding in this completely unprecedented time. I implore you all to continue to be thoughtful about the hospitality businesses that have supported this county for decades. And I'm asking you to continue to invest in tourism in Ulster County to preserve your cash flow for decades to come. Thank you. And thank you for allowing me the chance to speak.
Thank you.
Thank you. If we could next hear from Susan Mack. Ms. Mack, you'll need to hit *6 to unmute your phone.
Thank you, I'm here. And I'm the executive director of the YWCA of Ulster County. And on a separate phone listening in is Tracy Dumigan, the Families Now director. And we hold the Families Now contract with the county. And we are a piece of the puzzle, the same puzzle of family services is involved in. And we often go in first to families, to the homes of families where children are in imminent danger of being removed from their homes. And I will, because we've already talked about the need of that population and the dire straits that our community would be in if those services were cut, I'm going to just spend a couple of minutes talking about the data, the financial. This year to date, Families Now served 153 children, and only two of them were placed in care. And the families that we served, when their kids are removed from their home, they're mostly placed in congregate care, which is group homes. And the cost to the county per week of placing a child in congregate care is $1,070. Now, this year to date, and that's per kid, yeah. And this year to date, 151 children were kept out of congregate care by Families Now program. And the cost of that per child is $162,000 total. Looking at 2021, where our budget is proposed to be cut by 50%, as are many of the other organizations on tonight, our budget for this year is upwards of $450,000. When I look at the state reimbursement rate, 2021, that reduces it by almost $110,000 in terms of cost to the county. What we're looking at is a savings of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to the county in the same budget year by keeping kids out of placements and in their homes. And that's in addition, of course, to the humanitarian aspect of it, the kids going through trauma and the families undergoing often generational cycles of abuse and neglect and not knowing how to parent effectively and how to keep their homes effectively. So these services, again, appear to be a savings in line items, but the cost of having those kids placed is much more expensive. Again, our Families Now program, if all our kids who were not placed this year were to go into foster care, or rather congregate care, the cost to the county would be $8,400,000, as opposed to the $450,000 that our budget costs, less even the New York State reimbursement rates.
Susan, can you wrap it up a little, please?
that's my piece of it. So I just want to thank you very much for your time tonight. And I hope all those numbers didn't make your head spin. And just thank you for your dedication to the community.
Thank you, Susan.
Chairman Donaldson, the last speaker that we have signed up is Tamara Murray.
Thank you, Jay. My name is Tamara Murray, and I'm the Marketing and Sales Director for the Emerson Resort Spa, and also a board member of the Ulster County Lodging Coalition. You've heard from several of my colleagues in the tourism industry over the course of these public hearings, and I want to thank the legislature for the chance to be heard. Increasing the occupancy tax, and by the way, also thank you to Legislator Archer for the email she sent earlier today concerning this. A $100,000 cut to the tourism budget, the elimination of the print travel guide, the relocation of the county's visitors center, and proposed local law number 16 to eliminate the tourism department from the county charter suggest a deliberate dismantling of marketing and promotion for the county's third largest industry. I'm frankly at a loss to understand the reasoning behind a complete reversal of tourism support by the current administration. My colleagues have addressed in more detail the devastating effect an occupancy tax increase would have on our industry, even more so in light of the disastrous losses we have suffered due to COVID-19. I'm speaking tonight to address the negative impact of the additional proposed changes to the tourism department. It's been said the travel guide would not be eliminated, but instead made digital. The Emerson Resort and Spa is located in the Catskills. The majority of our area does not have adequate broadband or cell service. The award-winning travel guide is the most requested source of information when guests arrive. Without cell service, printed material is the only way for tourists to map out where they want to visit and to be able to find it. We've had many instances where guests were not aware of the lack of cell service. Some of these instances could have been dangerous without a printed source to guide them. The elimination of the printed guide also means the elimination of distribution at thruway stops and other tourism distribution centers. Additionally, with the recent influx of people relocating to Ulster County, the Kingston Barnes and Noble began distributing the travel guide because they were not able to keep enough local maps in stock to meet the demand. So clearly print is not dead. To recently learn a proposed local law number 16 was another complete blow. Despite comment to the contrary, it appears the intent is to use the tourism budget for economic development purposes, effectively eliminating dedicated tourism promotion and support. The premier resorts and hotels in the county are all family or privately owned. We do not have large corporations backing us. Throughout the COVID-19 shutdown and subsequent occupancy restrictions, not to mention millions of dollars collectively spent on safety protocols, we have battled through. It is our industry's destinations, hotel properties, and reimagined activities that are bringing tax dollars back to the county. I urge you to revoke these short-sighted policy and occupancy tax decisions that ultimately have the potential to put the tourism industry out of business. Thank you, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Chairman Donaldson and Madam Clerk, that those are all the speakers that I had signed up.
Alrighty, could you, Vicki, just quote what the, you know, the next meetings, I do not have that stuff in front of me.
Yes, no problem at all. I know also, I just want to say, legislators Roberts and Fabiano both joined us. We have a full house. Might be our first ever hearing with a full house for one of these budget hearings. So that's great. The next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on Tuesday, November 17th, 2020 at 7 p.m. And Mr. Chairman, you've already said that'll be by Zoom.
All righty. Having heard that, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion for adjournment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Legislator Litz.
Second.
Seconded by?
Tavares.
Thank you, Legislator Gavaris. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Public hearing is adjourned. Thank you.
Have a good evening. Stay safe and healthy.